Manche geben immer alles. Für andere fühlt sich das aber vielleicht einfach zu viel an. Ganz egal, wie du zu dem Thema stehst. Dokumentiere deine Entscheidung jetzt ganz einfach digital im Organspenderegister. Ja oder nein? Deine Entscheidung ist nur einen Klick entfernt. Fühlt sich bestimmt gut an, das geregelt zu haben, oder? Jetzt online eintragen auf organspende-register.de.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love, I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne, a lyrical analysis of Kanye West. My name is Chris Lambert, and today we have a story with Harry Adokwa. Harry, thank you for being here today. Introduce yourself to everybody.
Thank you so much for having me. My name is Harry Adokwa. I'm an artist out of Dallas, Texas, based in Austin. I'm kind of all over. I don't have a permanent spot. I'm a singer-songwriter/rapper.
I remember, so the first time we talked before the Summer Jam performance in, what, August of 2018? Mm. And I remember going to the show, and I was always nervous because you interview all these people, you really like the conversation with them, mm-hmm. but then you're not sure how the music's going to be. And I remember, did you kick off the show?
I think I was second.
Second? Okay. I remember just standing there and watching and having this moment thinking where I've never watched Prince perform, but I feel like this has to be what people felt like watching Prince perform.
Thank you.
Just like the energy and the passion that you had and like the kind of spell that you cast over the crowd with just, I don't know, everything that you brought to the table. I was really captivated. So it's exciting that you have the new project coming out,
yes.
which is just a full album of that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm excited about like your grind and your glow up and just everything that's going to unfold for you.
I really appreciate that, man. I don't think I've gotten a Prince comparison, so this is a special moment for me. That's nice. Huge. That's nice. Huge. Thank you.
Yeah. Also, the new album, not Prince-like.
Not Prince-like. No, it's not. Did you want me to?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so the new album's called Fire on the Mountain. It's my first body of work where I feel like I'm saying what I want to say, how I want to say it, on the soundscape that I want to say it on. Mm. I don't know. I don't know how to explain what it is. It's like maybe like a baby formulating words. You know what I mean? Like all this time the baby's just been goo goo gaga-ing, but like knows what it really wants to get out. And then it's finally saying it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, just it's always cool hearing an artist talk about the approach to the art, because it's not just, oh, I'm great at this.
Yeah.
There's always like the development and that realization at some point that it's not just me trying to get this right. Like, it's not just me getting the lyrics right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just me getting the sound right. And it's not just me getting the performance right.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting everything to kind of align. And maybe some songs you're getting 2 out of 3.
Exactly.
On others, you're getting 1 out of 3. God forbid you get 0 out of 3.
A lot of the songs, you get 0 out of 3.
Yeah. But then reaching that point where you're finally like, I know how to do this. I know how to do that. I know how to do this other thing. And now I can finally bring them together. It must be such a nice place to be.
It is. Actually, like, I think actually it was yesterday. I've never done this before, but I just caught myself. I was posting the lyrics to Genius, and I just caught myself reading over the lyrics, being like, fuck, I really did these couple bars, like, you know, I was really feeling myself. Then I had to stop. I was like, dude, get out of there, you know, move on, you know what I mean?
Right.
But that's exactly it. That's exactly it. I feel like a lot of my songs prior were 1 of 3, 2 of 3. A lot of them, even making this album, were 0 of 3, you know, like, there's like maybe 4 songs that didn't make it because it just didn't I didn't say what I wanted to say, how I wanted to say it. You know, yeah. it's about that that synchronicity. Of it's because it's something to want to say something, but to be able to say it cool, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like I've been the best with, but now in this new form, to where it's not just, I don't know how to explain it. It's not rapping, it's not singing, it's just kind of me like doing my thing. To be able to say that in this new form is very much so new. Yeah. You know, and it feels good and it sounds good and it's exciting to perform. So
it makes me think about, not that I relate everything to Kanye, but it's the idea that Kanye reached this point of rapping wasn't conveying everything that he needed to convey.
Exactly.
And he needed to sing at times, but he couldn't just be a singer either, because that didn't always convey what he,
exactly,
like the pace, the rhythm, like the attitude that he needed to convey. Mm-hmm. And you do end up in this point of like, well, here I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. Here I'm doing that. Sometimes I'm doing both.
Yeah, and it's with the question mark too. You're like, is this, what is this, you know? But yeah, that's exactly what it is. I remember Sampha said once, he was like, man, I wish I could rap, because there are some things that that I want to say that won't sound right singing, you know? Mm. And so toggling between the two is a blessing.
Have you been working on both of those things for a long time? Was rapping first, then singing was something that you eventually developed? Was singing first and rapping, or both in tandem?
So technically rapping was first. No, technically singing was first, but rapping was first. Meaning I've always been like singing to myself,
yeah,
but never had the confidence to take that seriously. So I started rapping, and then people, whether it be like my family and high school, middle school, they're like, damn, you're really good at rapping. So I started focusing on rapping. And I was getting some, like, when people start to say you're doing a good thing, you kind of tend to stick to that thing, you, yeah, know? And then I think I tried something live. And one of my good friends, she's actually one of the reasons why I, like, started recording seriously. She was like, yeah, you should just stick to rapping. And I was like, damn, you know? But for some reason, like, I just couldn't. And so I bought a little book. That came with the CD, and you could just play it in your car. You can just go through the good, 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 good.
Yeah.
So I did that like all throughout college, you know, I tried it on, I tried singing on a song, and I was like, okay, that's not bad. I'm getting better. And just kept doing it. Just anytime I'm driving back from work, anytime I have any downtime, and when I get back to the apartment, you know, I'm just doing my good, goods, you know? And then eventually it's like, wow, like I can, in quotation marks, sing, you know, yeah, what I mean? At least to get this point across, you know, I don't need to be Frank Ocean or anyone else, but.
Nah, that's like a really empowering place to get to. Cause I feel like singing in hip hop has been something that's been developing for like 12 years now,
mm-hmm,
maybe longer. I just like before and after 808s and Heartbreak, mm-hmm, like before 808s, after 808s. But it feels like in that time after, so many rappers, hip-hop artists, have a song aspect or a singing aspect to their voice. Like, Post Malone's not.
Yeah.
Is he a fantastic singer? I guess, I don't think so, but it's emotional enough and it, exactly, it works.
It's like Bob Dylan, you know? Like, Bob Dylan really can't sing. You know what I mean? Neither can Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
But you feel what they're saying.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, when you're listening, it just doesn't matter that they can't sing, you know?
Yeah. And that ends up being some of the charm of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I hate when people call it crooning, but at the end of the day, it may be, it may be crooning. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like crooning is a word I have to write, because there's only so many times you can use singing in like an article where you're like, he was singing, crooning.
Yeah.
And you're like, is that fair?
I don't know. And at the same time, it's like, at a certain point you are crooning, like, you know, when it sounds like you're like legitimately crying, yeah, you know, I feel like, and you feel that pain. So fuck it. I like crooning now, you know, you feel that pain inside that,
yeah,
and you just want to emote and it comes out however it comes out.
Yeah. You're going to have like a secondary just like EP now that's called like the croon songs and just like
the crooners.
Yeah, the crooner. There we go.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So you started you had rapping for a long time. You started singing. When you had the Gluck Gluck Gluck, the CD in the car, were people in the car with you ever, like, hearing the CD? Like, they get in the car and they're like, what are you listening to?
My sister. And she fucking hated it. We used to work at, during the summer, my dad got us this job at UT Southwestern, which is like an hour and a half away from us in McKinney, and literally the heart of downtown Dallas. And so with traffic, I have all this time, you know, I'm going to work on my voice. And she hated it, yo. And then there'd be times where I'd be going on dates and, like, the CD's still in the car.
That's exactly what,
yeah. Yeah, we get back in the car and it's just the, you know, the good, good, good. I have to hurry up and try to, like, you know, stop it, put the aux on.
Because then she's asking you, like, what is that? Yeah. And you're, like, singing. And she's like, oh, sing for me.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yo, that happened, like, literally 2 weeks ago. This guy was like, what type of music do you do? And I was, like, trying to explain it. And then he was like, sing for me. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's not that type of singing. Think, like, Jimi Hendrix type singing.
Yeah.
And he understood it, though. He was like, oh, got you.
Okay.
I'll just listen to the record.
Please. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't make me just... Yeah, like, I gotta get a hole.
Yeah. I gotta get a shot, like, get emotional, like, give me a second here, you know?
Yeah. So, getting into Fire in the Mountain, were you listening to a lot of things? Like, the process behind making an album like that? I know some artists like to go into it with just, I'm not listening to a lot at the time, this is coming purely from me. Others really like the idea of, I'm listening to a bunch of things, this is the vibe I'm trying to capture, this is like the level I'm trying to be on.
Gotcha.
Which side of that did you fall?
So I feel like the influences for Fire on the Mountain, I had done all of that listening a couple years prior.
Okay.
My whole life, actually, right? So it's like, coming up, listening to reggae, like, that's all that's in the household, is just reggae music, beautiful reggae artists. And then throughout, like, middle school through high school, my hip-hop influences, you know, that's where I picked up Ye, Cudi. In college is where I got into Jay-Z. And then towards the end of college is where I'm getting into the Jim Morrison, and, like, I'm really digging into, like, the Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan, I always forget her name, and I like her a lot. The girl that sings Summertime. What is it? Janis Joplin.
Joplin.
Okay. So I'm getting into those people, right? And so after college, I get a job, and I don't know it, but all these influences are weaving together. I'm making a whole bunch of songs that I don't like. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're all kind of trash. But you can see traces of reggae with some psych rock, or you know, some hip hop with this and with that, with this. But when it came time to actually making the record, I wasn't really listening to any of that. I was actually listening to, it's funny, cause one of my best friends, Rashad, was like, man, cause I would play him a sample of what I made, and then we'd go to listen, like, to, like, Gunna, and he'd be like, dude, like, if people knew, like, the type of music you actually listen to versus what you make, they'd be like, what the fuck is this? Because seriously, that's what I was listening to. Like, I was listening to Gunna, and, you know what I mean? And none of Fire on the Mountain is anything remotely near any of that, you know? But that was just strictly for my enjoyment. I feel like when it came to the research and when it came to the exploration, I had already, looking back on it, I feel like I'd already done that, you know? So whenever my producer was making those soundscapes, producer Ima Adokwa, just gotta shout him out because he fucking killed it.
Yeah.
When he was making those soundscapes, it's like, I don't even know, it's like he knew, you know what I mean? Because it takes him to understand where I'm trying to go. It's weird. But to answer your question, no. I wasn't listening to, like, that music while I was making it. Right. I wasn't listening to any. I was just enjoying music and making what I was making.
Which, that makes sense to me, because it's like, you don't want to be in process mode when you're trying to make something where you don't want to, I mean, you want to think, but you're also kind of drawing from something that's beyond tangibility beyond giving that kind of necessary like logic and structure to of, oh, I'm drawing this from here. You just want to feel it and exactly. put it in.
Exactly.
And if you're listening to new things as well that are really like the heavy stuff that you're into, that's all starting to swirl around and kick up processes that are different from just listening to music you can put on.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a weird thing looking back on it now, you know, because like after listening to like, what's that one song? Drip or Drown, like I shouldn't have come up with No Rule, you know. But yeah, it's funny how that type of stuff works. Or but like you said, it's like it's drawing from something that's beyond my own cognitive ability, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And this is around the time, like this album is when I stopped writing things down like on paper, because I felt like I was getting too caught up in this word could be better than this word, or you know, this sentence is da da da, maybe start da da da. And I started really getting into feeling. And so I feel like I was opening myself up to just let shit just come through, you know? Yeah. And then I can piece it together. By no means am I saying I'm a freestyler, you know what I mean? Like, don't ask me to freestyle.
Yeah.
But it was spiritual, actually, this recording this record. It was medicine. And there's this song by it's with Nipsey and DJ Mustard, and he's like, man, I went through every emotion. This is what Nipsey's saying. I went through every emotion, and I feel that like this record was me going through every emotion, you know, like the beat would be done, or while it's being produced, I would need to either step away, or my cousin would step away who produced this whole thing. And then I'd have that space to myself to just to fight myself, to laugh at myself, to cry, you know, by myself, just emote.
That talking about getting into the feeling of it, there's something cool about that, because when you're just writing everything down and trying to piece together in that very logical initial approach, I feel like it starts to limit the sense of discovery, because you're continuing to stop yourself exactly. to... like, okay, am I getting, like, this word? You get caught up on the mm-hmm. word. And there's something about going on the feel and getting that first draft coming from just the gut that allows you to discover yourself and mm-hmm. confront yourself in a way that you wouldn't otherwise be doing on, like, a much larger level than just the sentence and just the word.
Mm-hmm.
There's a... Actually, the samurai, Musashi Miyamoto, who's considered, like, the greatest samurai... He won 60 duels, okay. which were duels to the death.
Shit.
And he wrote this book called Book of the Five Rings. And he has a detail, which is going to be ironic. He says, if you get focused on details, you'll die.
Mm-hmm.
As like a samurai. You have to understand just the principles and the feeling
mm-hmm.
and go on that. Anything more specific and you're going to... trip yourself up in the moment that's like most necessary.
I fuck with that. What was that called again? The Book of Five Rings?
Book of Five Rings.
Yeah. Let me check that out.
It's like, I think he was like 1300s or something, or 1500s, and the books just existed for 500 years.
Hopefully they've translated it.
Yeah. So yeah.
I don't have to read the old English, man. That shit sucks.
No, it's been updated.
Yeah.
There's even a graphic novel now. Right, okay. Yeah. It kind of distills the main points.
Achtung, es folgt eine wichtige Botschaft Ihres Mobilfunkanbieters.
Ey Mann, es gibt Leute, die drücken immer noch zu viel Knete ab.
Nein, nicht frisch.
Der Barra ist ja irgendwie smarter.
Ja, smart.
50 GB für nur 8,99.
Wenig Knete.
Ich zahle doch nicht mehr für weniger.
Nee. Das wäre auch schön blöd.
Lebara,
deine Knete, deine Entscheidung.
Nice.
Alle Details zu unseren Tarifen finden Sie unter lebara.de.
Talking about influences, we didn't get to talk about this much during the Summer Jam interview, but Kanye,
mm-hmm.
you had mentioned Kanye was
a huge
influence for mm-hmm. you. When did you first listen to a Kanye song?
I was actually late to Kanye. So this had, and I'm not really good with time, But I know that it was around the time of like the Good Life video. Okay. So that's Graduation.
Yeah, 2007-ish.
So when he was promoing Graduation, that's when I just found Late Registration.
Okay.
So I was just then listening to Late Registration. And so I was playing catch up.
Yeah.
I don't remember when that was, like in my, how old I was though.
Yeah.
But I just remember being like, damn, like that song Roses really got me. I was like, damn, even Wake Up Mr. West. Like, all, I was just like, damn, this is like hard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, ever since then, I've just been a fan of like, I'm a big fan of lyrics and story, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then he kind of opened me up to disturbance in art.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then that fascinated me, you know, just being able to hear something I've never heard before, but it's still cool. You know what I mean? Because sometimes like something, when something's too new, you're just like, ah, I'm not about it. But he found a way to like sneak in, like I feel like, and I had to play catch up, I had to go back to College Dropout, but I feel like with each album, especially those first three, he was pushing a little bit and a little bit more, you know what I mean? To where like, it wasn't, I know a lot of people hated 808s when it first came out or whatever, but to me it wasn't that far-fetched, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It may not have been what I thought would be the natural progression, but it wasn't hard for me to understand. Because I feel like he's been pushing these melodies and these ideas and this emotion, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And in a way that I could digest 808s. And then Yeezus was after that, right?
My Beautiful Dark Twisted
Fantasy. Oh, My Beautiful Dark.
Yeah.
That one, I understand why he was like, I know how to, in some of his interviews, he's like, I know how to make perfect.
Yeah.
And I liked that album a lot. Like, it was super hard, you know what I mean? But Yeezus was the one that was like, okay, shit. Like, music is now different. You know what I mean? And that inspired me to, like this whole toggling between rapping and singing or crooning is kind of him toggling between, like, the smoothness and the crunch of, you know, some beats. You know what I mean? And, like, how On Sight starts off, like, you know what I mean? Like, sonically, you're not supposed to want to like that. You know what I mean?
But I love it.
Exactly.
I've been conditioned to love it.
Exactly.
I remember when I first heard On Sight, just the confusion that came over me.
Yeah.
And just that idea of like, is this... am I supposed to enjoy... But there's still something like... I don't know. There's something primal in it. There's something that like... when you know the project, it's the perfect thing.
Yeah.
Even if it throws you as like a first time listener,
it's daring, and it inspired me to be daring. It's like, it I don't know, man. And like, I had that song as my alarm clock for the longest time in college, and I was supposed to hate that song after, you know, but I never grew tired of that song. Yeah, I switched my alarm tone just because I was a little harsh for the morning, but I never grew tired of that song, you know. And that's the one thing I respect about Kanye and Cudi, who was a huge influence, is just daring, you know what I mean? Just dare to do whatever the fuck you want to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm with Cudi, I was very guilty for a time of like being very judgmental of Cudi's change in direction.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that was because I was at a concert 3 days before Man on the Moon 2 came out, and dude came on stage at one point with a guitar. I was like, hey, I've been trying to learn guitar, I'm really into it, do you mind if I play? And everybody's like, yay.
Yeah.
And he plays Marijuana, and it was cool. But then he's like, I'm going to play it one more time. And he played Marijuana one more time, and then he's just like playing the guitar, but he still didn't quite know how to play the guitar.
Yeah.
And at that point, he had played no songs from Man on the Moon. He had only played songs from Man on the Moon 2, which nobody... knew.
Yeah.
And we were excited, but also like
a little disappointed.
Yeah, like where's like
what we came for?
Yeah, like Heart of a Lion, where's like Pursuit of Happiness? Mm-hmm. Where's, what's the other one with like Outer Space? Or Soundtrack to My Life.
Yeah.
Like we got none of those. He played Pursuit of Happiness at the end, but I was a little bit resentful of him wanting to go the guitar route. And then when he released, was it Indicud that was more guitar heavy?
Or was it Wizard?
Wizard.
Yeah,
Wizard. I was just like, ugh.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, like, now at this point, looking back at what he did and having the balls to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I love it more than I ever did before.
Yeah, and I always wonder how, like, Kanye got away with it, but Cudi didn't.
Right.
That's always been interesting to me, so I can, like, stay away from whatever it is that Cudi did. And I can't seem to find out, you know?
Yeah. What,
like, was it too soon, or...
My short answer would be I just think Kanye's production's stronger overall. Is just, like, a... Or maybe cleaves a bit more to playing on, like, sampling the popular into something more daring, where Cudi's, like, lacked that same foundation, was just, like, all daring.
Mm-hmm.
And because it didn't have that same base, it didn't hit as well. Huh.
I'm going to use that. I'm going to take that and use that. For sure.
Talking about, like, the crunch of Yeezus compared to some of the softness that he'd bring in, like, thinking about songs like I'm In It, which had such vulgarity up front and didn't really sound like a rap track at parts.
Yeah.
And then having that final verse that just really hits, going into Blood on the Leaves, which is such song singing. I can imagine, like, you hearing Blood on the Leaves and just...
going insane.
Yeah.
Going insane. Anytime Blood... Like, I had to request Blood on the Leaves at the wrong times. You know, just like, no matter what's happening, I want to hear Blood on the Leaves.
Yeah.
For sure. That was... Yeah, that was a crazy song.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate, after listening to him, and he was like, this album would have been well received if I put Blood on the Leaves first.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's just a testament to, like, dude, just do it. You know, just do what you feel that you should do, you know? And just as a creative, it, like, when Kanye's like, oh, if you're a fan of me, you're a fan of myself, I truly believe that, you know? Because watching him make these steps, watching him... do whatever he wants, watching him put On Sight first instead of Blood on the Leaves makes me want to do my own version of whatever that is, you know? Watching Cudi make Speeding Bullet to Heaven, though a lot of people hated it, I can't say I loved it on its onset, but I respected it, and it gave me the courage to make my own version of that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, did you have those moments while making Fire in the Mountain where somebody was like, no, or you, like, tested it with people and... And you're like, eh, and you're like, you know what? I like it. And that's enough.
I'm very hard-headed. Yeah. Like, extremely stubborn. So if someone was like, I don't like it, I lean towards not caring immediately. You know?
Yeah.
I lean toward, and it, I mean, it could be arrogance or it could be whatever, but, like, if I feel in my heart of hearts I'm right, then I'm right, and that's it, until I'm wrong. You know what I mean? And so, but that doesn't mean I don't listen to people. I listen to everything. But to be honest, I don't think I got that much pushback from anything sonically I was doing on Fire on the Mountain. My producer, Imal, definitely would challenge me. But it wasn't like this is a bad direction you're going. It's how can we make this greater?
Yeah.
You know? So it was never, and even then, sometimes I would take that personally and I had to check myself and even, like, wait till he goes to sleep before I go work on the thing he said, you know?
Not gonna give him the satisfaction.
Yeah, no. You don't, no. I can't give you that. But I don't think I got only, and that's because I stopped rapping, right? Like, I completely stopped rapping. So anyone I'm showing music to, they haven't heard me rapping forever. They've heard my Ric Flair's, they've heard Mad Max, they've heard these singles of me just testing out these ideas and these patterns. They've heard, you know, so they so I don't know if they don't expect traditional anymore, you know what I'm saying? Like, I hope they don't expect anything. But yeah, that's a long form of saying no. I didn't get too much pushback.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, and you had mentioned Cudi being a huge influence. I wanted to come back to that. When was it that you discovered Cudi?
Okay, Cudi is more clear. It was we're going to a football game. I'm pretty sure it was my junior year, and I was drunk as shit going to a football game. And then my friend Jed, who's ironically an elder now, he's like, bro, have you heard of Kid Cudi? And I was heavy on Wiz and like Wayne. I was like, nah, never. And then he's like, bro, you're going to love this song. He plays me Mojo So Dope. And I just lost my shit. I've never heard. And I had been rapping or whatever, but I'm rapping kind of like, I'm party rapping, kind of rapping like Wiz, you know? I never heard a flow like that. Like, and like everyone's like, oh, I got flow, but that was an actual flow. Like, I feel like, you know, you could feel yourself riding those waves with them, the way, you know what I mean? And so that's what started it. And so I started late on that too. I started on Man on the Moon 2.
Okay.
And Mr. Rager was my jam. Mr. Rager. Yeah, man. That's one of those ones, yo, that like you just want to scream, you know?
Yeah.
And his songwriting too is just like the stories he's telling, you're like, man, I feel this in my own way. It may not be exactly what he's going through, but I felt my bouts, you know, or whatever the case may be. And then going backwards, because I just needed more. I just needed more of Cudi. Yeah. Going backwards, I lost my shit when I heard My World, you know? Because that's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling like, yo, like, I want to do this music thing too, you know? This is going to be my world. I'm going to show everyone who, which actually wasn't a lot of people who were like, you can't do it. But it was more so my family who was like, you shouldn't do it, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
you can't tell me what to do.
Yeah, exactly. I just really fucked with his vulnerability.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I heard somebody, not the first time, but like it just connected for me in a way that others didn't, how naked he was.
Yeah.
And again, made it cool. Because it's all about making it cool. You know what I'm saying? You want to hear something cool. Like Kanye's Jesus is King, it's a gospel album. But it's the coolest gospel album you'll ever hear, you know? And that's what I feel like, that's why I stay away from gospel albums, because they're not cool sounding.
It's just like...
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, thanks for the message. And trust me, I need the message, but it's not cool. You know what I mean? And so Cudi, like, he really tapped into that naked coolness. And that inspired me to, like, be more open with myself. You know, like aside from the music or aside from other people, just to be like, hey, man, like what's going on inside us right now? You know, like,
which is an important thing, like to be able to access just for mental health. Because if you can't begin to understand and have that conversation, how can you begin to get over anything or get through anything?
Exactly.
I always think back when I first heard Man on the Moon and just the range from feeling so motivated from Heart of a Lion to then feeling so emotional on Soundtrack to My Life and just like some of the low points that he reveals, like why is he in, like playing in the room by himself, you know, like as an only child, like just with toys, not a lot of people around. I mean, he had brothers and a sister that wasn't really there at that point, but just that idea of being alone in your room and you're just kind of daydreaming, playing with toys.
Exactly.
There's something very visceral about that in a way that I wasn't getting from other artists that I was listening to in like any genre. I'm not hearing that from Linkin Park.
No, for sure. And I mean, even that spectrum, you get that, you know what I mean? From you'll be as high as whatever at noon, and then come 5 o'clock, you're just like, yo, where the fuck did all of that go? You know what I mean? Or whether it's in the same day, whether it takes a couple of days. I thought that was cool, you know, showing me that spectrum. Like, you're not just this super confident guy all the time. You know what I mean? And pretty much what he was telling me is no one is. Yeah. You know, I thought Cudi was the coolest thing on earth. And he's saying, hey, man, like, I feel these ways too, you know? I thought that was cool.
Yeah. And it makes me think Kanye as well, with just the fact that he had so much ego. Like, he's thought of as like the most egotistical person, not just like artists, but people are like, oh, Kanye, worst ego. But even he admits all of these things on all these albums and has no shame in admitting it. Like, I've had issues with this. I deal with this. I feel upset about this.
Exactly.
I know a lot of people still love the unreleased song, I Feel Like That.
I love that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was working at my 9-to-5, I don't know if I should name them, I would have that song on repeat. Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of depressing, right? Like, because that's not a good song to have on repeat, but I'd just be in my cubicle just like, damn, like, I feel like that all the time. And I would be over my interns, and I would play music, you know, and then they're just like, yo, like, why are you listening to this? And, like, why is this the song that you chose to play for all of us? And I'm like, well, I feel like that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just say that to say I fucking love that song a lot. It's a good song.
It is, especially, you watch the video too, right? Yeah. Like, just that dynamic from All Day and, like, the high of All Day, then into I Feel Like That. Yeah. Like, man,
it's the truth, man.
Yeah,
that's all I ever want to hear is the truth, like, just your version of the truth, you know.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm gonna give is my version of the truth, whatever that may be. Another one of my favorite Kanye songs is Pinocchio Story from Hollywood Bowl.
Hell yeah,
I would listen to that all the time, dude.
Hell yeah.
Just that ending part, it's like gut-wrenching, you know. You feel that, you know.
Yeah, that, especially, like, capping off all the rest. Like, you hear all the tracks on 808s, and you're like, that's sad, that's sad, yeah, that's sad. Like, can we get much sadder? And then you get Pinocchio's Story, and it's essentially, like, you're never going to find love. Yeah. Like, your life's a lie, yeah. And, like, fuck off.
But then in the Hollywood Bowl performance, he has that, like, that line of, like, no matter what, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, I'm good. Like, you know, he rattled on saying that, like, you know how many times they said I wouldn't make it in this town, and now the Hollywood Bowl sold out. You know what I mean? It's stuff like that. It's just like, damn, bro. Even though I'm at this fucking cubicle and I hate everyone just because I'm here in this cubicle, like, I'm going to sell the Hollywood Bowl out too. You know what I'm saying?
Getting that inspiration, getting that energy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, then, not just that, being able to channel that honesty then into your work,
mm-hmm.
knowing that that's the thing. Like, that's the ingredient that you need.
Exactly. Like, it's okay for me to say things like, on May Day, like, if you love me, you must be crazy yourself. You know, me and my crazy. You know what I mean? It made it okay to be honest with my listeners, you know, to stop the whole braggadocio rap. You know what I mean? To stop the whole, I'm fucking bitches. You know what I mean?
Right, like, I got 6 rollies.
Yeah, I never got into that because, like, I was only talking about what I'm actually doing. But it was actually my drummer that challenged me, and he probably doesn't even know he challenged me. He was like, one day we were practicing for a show. It may have been Summer Jam, and he's like, "Man, you rap about, you, like, you make songs about sex a lot." I was like, "Damn, I do." I was like, I need to open up more. I need to talk about it a little bit more.
It can't be my only thing.
Yeah, seriously.
Or maybe you become the sex guy.
Like, I could have been. You know, I'm glad he got me early before I was the sex guy.
That's just, you come up with a alter ego. Right? And those are all the albums you release by him.
Yeah.
And like
The Dream Part 2.
Yeah.
Everything's in falsetto.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's one way to get some headlines. What do you think was kind of the, talking about, like, honesty, mm-hmm. so much, what for you was kind of the, I don't want to say, like, the hardest moment, but the moment where you're just like, oh, I feel like this is me finally, like, getting to something that I've been trying to get to, and, like, this is the honest line, or this is the, like, core moment?
It was doing a lot of reading. Like, a ton of reading, a ton of self-reflection, a ton of growing, and then something happens, which was, it wasn't even anything big. It was like a phone call from my girlfriend at the time, and she was telling me something great that happened in her day, and for some reason I wasn't able to, like, celebrate with her, so I got off the phone really quick because I didn't want to bring her energy down. And then I was just kind of just confused at myself, just like, what the fuck? Like, we are levels, we're levels, you know what I mean? Like, we've done this, this, and this in music, right, in the Austin scene, you know what I mean? We've done this, this, and this in, like, your health. We've done this in the way you think, in the way you, like, in the way you, like, I used to internalize other energies, you know? Now I'm blocking off energies. Now what people say doesn't get to me. I really try my hardest not to get mad. I don't, it's all these things that we've done, and I still feel, like, not okay.
Yeah.
And that's, like, a scary feeling, and it's, like, a, and I just have to be honest with myself that I'm not okay still. You know what I mean? Like,
you haven't achieved perfection.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's like, yo, like, I'm praying. I'm calling my mom. You know what I mean? I am, like, I'm being selfless in areas I can. I'm doing what I can. Like, I'm doing the right things. So is what's going on, you know? And then it's just really asking myself those questions that really, like, it got me down for a second. Like, will I ever be what I'm trying to get to?
Yeah.
You know? And that's really how that song, the first song off the record, No Rule, came about. It's literally, the beat was just being made, and I was outside on the phone, and then I hang up, and I'm looking, and I walk inside, and I just immediately walk straight in, and I just start questioning myself, you know? I thought I found peace, like, I thought I found me, you know? Yeah, that was not, because it's not what you expect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, you're going in, like, you're in the studio, you know you're going to get emotional, but you kind of feel in control in a way.
Yeah.
And to then have that call and to have this sense of, you know, she just had this good news, and your first reaction is, why you and not me?
I wouldn't say it's like, it wasn't why her and not me. It was, why can't I celebrate with you?
Mm.
It's like, what's wrong with me? You know what I'm saying? Like, I should be really happy for you. You know what I mean? But for, and I thought I was just good. You know, that's where the confusion came. It's like, right before the call, I thought I was just like, just hairy, just living. You know what I mean? And then when I got it, it was just like, I was able to, through that moment, see inside myself, like, oh, there's still some things here. They may be, like, hiding. I may not be able to feel them or whatever the case may be, but there's still something here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just being able to channel that then.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Rock. Rockt. Der neue T-Rock.
Was that, you said No Rule, it was the first song on the album. Was that the first one you were recording at that point, or had you been recording?
Oh, I'd been recording. Okay. I'd been recording, but that was the, I'm trying to think if I had a record that made it, because this record started completely different from what I thought was gonna be. But it always had to do with being a better, like, the first song was called Better Man.
Yeah.
It always had to do with, like, growth. I just didn't know what type of growth yet,
right,
or what I was trying to overcome yet, I guess. But No Rule is the one where I was like, okay, I have the direction, at least for this song, you know? Yeah, who knows what comes about later. But for this song, I know where we're going with this.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, you talked about, at the beginning, Dallas, Austin, and going around a lot these days to other places. Mm-hmm. Has the travel that's gone on and just being in different kind of cities, landscapes, around different people, been influential at all in that way, as you're thinking about not just this project, but future projects?
100%. I'm not gonna say I'm the biggest fan of it.
Yeah.
I really liked when I had my one bedroom apartment, you know what I mean, pretty close to downtown.
Yeah.
And we converted the whole bed and, like, the bedroom into a studio. Like, I really liked that setup, you know, it was very stable. But there's something in the instability that I wouldn't necessarily, like, a lot of people ask me, like, oh, have you been creating so many songs? Yeah, I have, but it's not really the songs. It's the Erykah Badu always says, like, if you have writer's block, you just need to live life. Mm. And so it's just a different, it's a different way of living that I'm used to.
Yeah,
that's stirring up new feelings, really. You know, like I said, I don't really enjoy sleep crashing on floors. You know what I'm saying? I don't enjoy it at all. But it is new, and new experiences bring about new tales, you know? Yeah.
Very, very much so. Yeah. That's the thing that I've always loved about Kanye's discography, is that I feel like each album since College Dropout kind of detailed everything from before that album all the way up to, like, Last Call's, like, a celebration that the album's coming out and was successful, even though it hadn't even. Yeah,
you gotta love it.
Yeah.
You gotta love it.
But then it felt like to me that Late Registration was him, after College Dropout, reflecting on the fame that he had achieved at this point and thinking about his life now. And then Graduation's that time between Late Registration and Graduation. And then 808's is that time between Graduation.
Exactly.
And it just, each album kind of being that next chapter in his life and capturing that energy, I feel like is such a powerful lesson for artists. And I hope it's something we just see more of, just instead of going back to the same well again, or even drawing from just the pop music again and again. Like, I'm just making party anthems, or I'm just making something, just... You're on a new chapter already in this album.
Yeah.
Has it even come out? And just what's that going to mean for
exactly
the next one?
I just know for me as a listener, as a fan, that's what I love the most. It's like, okay, I'm a fan. This artist is a huge artist, but this artist is almost like one of my friends. You know what I mean? It's like, and every project they drop or whatever, it's just that it's them checking in, or me checking in on them, just like, hey, how have you been, how are the kids, how are the da 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 da, and they're actually telling me, you know what I mean. But then you do have those friends that don't, you know what I mean, they just kind of keep a surface level and you guys kind of keep it pushing,
right?
And I know how I felt towards Ye and Cudi, and that's kind of the same that I want to give off, you know, that nakedness, that open book, that truth, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to hide anything from you guys or put on a face, like, hey, this is me, you know? Those who rock with it will rock with it, and those who don't will eventually.
Yeah. Well, and that's such, like, a powerful thing, is knowing, I think especially in, like, the internet age that we have, like, there are enough people that are going to be a fan of you eventually, as long as you keep plugging away and making yourself visible and making yourself honest and giving them that opportunity to connect. Billions of people, like, you're gonna find your people.
seriously. So why not? I don't know who said it, but they were like, if you're gonna make it, you should want to make it as who you are, you know, so that you could at least have that.
Yeah, imagine the alternative.
Exactly.
Ooh.
Imagine making it being someone that you're not. You know what I mean? That sucks, because you have to be that person. Or when you decide to finally become who you are, they're just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know what I'm saying? It's false advertising.
Yeah.
It's Popeyes without the fucking, you know what I mean? The chicken sandwich. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
I'm trying to think what would be, like, the worst thing that I could go to Popeyes and they're like, we sell this now.
Exactly. Like, kale? I don't know. Yeah, like,
all right. Like, impossible chicken? Yeah. It's like, no.
It's not what I came for. No, that's not what you told me to come here for.
Yeah, like, I don't mind that sometimes, but not from you right now.
Exactly.
Not from you right now.
Give me what you told me you'd give me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a crucial thing. Just being able to be you. So getting into a few of our favorite kind of wrap-up questions. Do you have a top three Kanye albums?
Yeezus is at number one.
Hell yeah.
808 is at number two. And then I have to give it to Jesus is, I'm just kidding. It's a good album, but I gotta give it to Late Registration.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it's the one that really, Graduation partially kicked it off, but
Late Registration was the first one you kind of...
Yeah, it's super tough, though, you know, because, like, all of them are so fucking good. Like, the fact that My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy isn't on there, like, it feels weird, you know, but it's like, what can I do?
Yeah, I mean, in the years that we've had the show and, like, just being as active as we are on social media, we get asked rankings a lot. And especially with Jesus is King, people have been like, where do you rank it? Where do you rank it? Mm. I'm finding myself almost... I just don't feel like it's even worth attempting to rank them anymore for me, because it's almost like whatever emotion I'm feeling at that time is more the appropriate ranking than...
Exactly.
It's just the vibe that I need.
Exactly.
Yeah. But still, in that spirit, top five songs.
Top five songs. Do they have to be in order?
Nah. Just...
Okay. We'll do FML...
Okay.
I gotta put that in there.
Yeah, that's a talk about honesty.
Yeah, that's exactly why. Like, when I heard this, I was like, shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I could relate. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, definitely FML. I gotta put Diamonds.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta put Diamonds in there.
Remix?
The remix.
Okay.
100%. Damn, the original was good, too. The
original was good.
The original was great.
He had that long-ass verse.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I'm still gonna go Remix.
Okay.
Okay, so...
You can't, like... It's hard to beat the Jay's verse. Yeah,
exactly. I want to throw Roses in there, but that's almost too easy.
Dancing all sleazy, where are you, Yeezy?
Okay, was Bon Iver on Blood on the Leaves?
He was on Hold My Liquor.
Hold My Liquor.
Yeah.
Hold My Liquor. So yeah. What am I at? I have...
If you count Roses, you're at 4. If you don't count Roses, you're at 3.
We're not counting Roses.
All right, you're at 3.
Okay. Then I got to do Streetlights.
Oh, yeah.
From 808s.
Yeah. I would just sit in my car.
Yeah.
Like, I'd get to where I was trying to go, and if Streetlights was on at that time, I'd replay it, like, 5 times.
I feel that for sure.
It was, like, one of the few songs I felt like I could sing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd just be singing, like...
Yeah, that song, man, like, when I really fell in love with that song, I was at A&M Commerce on a track scholarship, and it's just, Commerce is a small town, I hated it, everything about it, and that's when I finally, it was my freshman year of college, that's when I finally told myself, okay, I'm actually gonna try this, music's all I wanna do, fuck all the extras, and that song just rang so true. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, damn, I'm definitely not where I want to be. Like,
you know, you can see it.
Yeah, like, I literally see it. You know what I mean? So that's 4, right?
Yeah.
And then the last one, we're going to go with...
Old School or New School? Old School or New School?
Damn.
So many albums.
I know, there's so many records.
Like, do you go like a... Did any of the Kids See Ghosts songs make it for you? Like Ye and Cudi?
I loved them. I loved them, but they're not in my top 5 yet. Okay. I definitely loved them. And I loved Ye.
Yeah.
I loved Ye.
Yeah.
Like the first song off that?
Yeah, that's exactly like the weird shit that I want.
Yeah.
Like, I thought about killing you today. Like, what? Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to go Ghost Town.
Okay. Yeah, Ghost Town's a great one.
I'm going to go Ghost Town. I'm going to regret that later, but fuck it.
Yeah, I think we do like a big Best Kanye West Song Tournament Deathmatch Extreme
shit
on Twitter. And it's like a 150 song bracket. It goes 25 days in December. And Ghost Town finished, I think, in the top 4 last year. And it's like up there to potentially win this year.
Word.
It might be Ghost Town or Devil in a New Dress.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Or Power.
Fuck. I have to change Ghost Town. I have to go Power. I completely forgot. I have to go Power.
Ooh, what is it about Power?
I'm actually moving Power up to number 1.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Oh my god.
When I first heard Power And like I said, I love My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, but it just didn't, like, it just didn't do what Yeezus and 808 did for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it was something about Power, just how it started, just it was just so anthemic and what he's saying. And then when he dropped that visual, I was like, dude, this dude is fucking on another level. Like,
yeah.
Like, on another fucking level. Like, that visual, I actually just watched maybe like 3 weeks ago, and I was like, yeah. Holy shit. Like,
it's annoying. It's only like a minute 15. Yeah,
I like that, though. Like, it's so tight.
It is.
It's so tight, you know?
It's awesome.
And people will say whatever they want to say. They'll call it, like, satanic or whatever they want to do. But honestly, what it is fucking masterful. It's a piece of art, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I want the internet to last forever just for that to be up, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God. Imagine. I haven't even thought of a world existing where, like, we lose that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to... Ugh.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no, not Power.
I feel like it would be up your alley, too, with Power being so confident for so long, and then it having that kind of postmodern twist at the end, yeah. With, like, the drunkenness kind of enters into the performance at the end,
mm-hmm.
And then jumping out the window, letting everything go, that you arrive at that point.
It's so...
Like, what a fucking journey.
It's so beautiful. It's insane.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense, but at the same time, it makes all the sense in the world. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Especially that contrast, like, oh, this guy sounds, like, so sure of everything at points. Like, when you dig into the lyrics, you realize there's more, like, conflict going on.
Mm-hmm.
But to get to that point where you're, like... Oh, usually under somebody that's expressing so much of this, like, empowerment, they're actually doing it because they feel so desperate and weak and,
that's
like...
And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Or at least his truth and sometimes my truth, which is, again, I can't say it enough, like, damn, man, like, yeah, Power's definitely number one, for sure. How did I even fucking forget?
I don't know.
Too much music.
Yeah, I mean, there are like 9 albums.
Yeah, and then seriously.
Joint album is so much.
With heaters on every single one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then I guess we're at the point for your last call. You get an uninterrupted amount of time to talk about whatever you want, and I'll just sit here and. Not approvingly.
Okay.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
This is your last call.
I just want to first say thank you to the Watching the Throne podcast. Fire on the Mountain. My name is Harry Adokwa. If you're listening to this, it's out. Unless it drops early, then it's out December 11th. But all I really want to say, I'm going to keep it short and sweet, is just that it's okay, you know? Nothing's real. It doesn't matter who offended you or who you offended or your past or your fears or whatever. It's okay. You're okay. Drink a lot of water. Drink more tequila. Yeah, nothing's real. I'm just kidding. Jesus is king.
Me, I tell them, raise your glasses to the sky. Yeah. This is the last call for alcohol.